T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Started the show talking about the Giants. Well, how about those Jets, BT? I actually did not have a problem with what Woody Johnson's, and I have a problem with what Woody Johnson does quite often, bringing Robert Saleh back is a major issue. But saying that Zach Wilson may be a part of the Jets moving forward, actually, to me, is not the craziest thing. I understand why people want him gone. I get it. I'm not saying he could be a good quarterback here. However, it's just dumb investment. Or you know, bad investment to give him away for nothing. Why just cut him loose for another team to potentially take a chance on him when you could hold on to that asset and, you know, just see if anything may come of it? You don't know, likely not, but I'm not giving an asset away on the, you know, pennies on the dollar.
I find this interesting. So, you know, how you feel about Mara and him weighing in versus how you feel about Woody weighing in, it should be the opposite, in my opinion. So, now, again, actions speak louder than words, and Zach Wilson's not going to be on this football team next year because the Jets emasculated him, and the Jets treated him like a child, and they kept him in this protective bubble at first where they didn't give him any sort of public criticism, and I think that really soured him in the locker room. Not that people think that Zach's a bad kid. I don't know anybody who really does. Maybe a little petulant, maybe a little entitled, maybe a little immature early. Right. Nobody thinks he's a bad guy who's walking around and, you know, completely disengaged. I think that they look at Zach and they're like, he doesn't, he's got the arm, he have it. And I think ballers know that. I think that they identified that a while ago. But for Woody Johnson to even think about keeping Zach Wilson around is absolute lunacy. And now I understand that you don't just cut him now and give him away. You hold the rope until it frays or it doesn't. And maybe you coerce somebody in camp if it gets that far. You know, a second or a third string goes down. You get a conditional seventh round pick or a conditional sixth round. You're not getting much for Zach Wilson. But to even think, and this is what actually worries me, and nobody supported Zach more than me. There's actually a part of me that Woody thinks that it might be okay to bring back Zach Wilson.
But why would if he's
got to go?
If he's a third-string quarterback,
he can't be in the building and he cannot be on the practice field. It's
why?
Over.
Well,
it's
gonna over. He's going to be irrelevant.
It's over.
You're going to have Aaron Rodgers there. You got Tyrod Taylor as the backup. Zach is the
third string.
I'm
going to tell you why. If he was like a middle-round draft pick, that's one thing. He'll never be a complete non-story because he was the second overall pick. And at this point, the biggest symbol of failure for this regime with Joe Douglas. If he's there, there's always a reminder. If Roger, put it this way. Let's say, forget about something catastrophic, please, I hope. But let's say that Rodgers pulls a hamstring or he tweaks a groin and he's got to leave a game. You go to Tyrod Taylor, you go to Zach. You probably go to Tyrod. I know, but then
Tyrod's the backup. Zach is basically, he's Timmy Boyle. He's Mr. Clipboard holder.
Yeah, he's Mr. Clipboard, Mr. Baseball cap. Fantastic.
Yeah, right.
But then what happens if Tyrod Taylor goes 7-for-20, the Jets don't score? What are we talking about
Nobody's
all week on the
gonna
Fan?
Nobody's going to say bring
gotta
Zach
go,
back.
Well, if Tyrod Taylor plays like ass, I will.
No.
And I don't even want to have that discussion. It is counterproductive. It's not good for the morale. It's not good for Zach and it is not good for the Jets.
If you
gotta go,
see, for me, this
must go.
I understand what you're saying. I actually think the Jets are being smarter than most organizations here. Just because we in the media or fans say you can't be on the team, doesn't mean you give up a potentially valuable asset for nothing. If you bought Bitcoin at 60 and it goes down to 20, are you selling it at 20 just because you're like,
I don't even know. Is Bitcoin even real?
Apple
stock?
Whatever. That's why I don't know.
I'm going to get a dividend. Right. I'm going to still make some money. Bitcoin, forget about Bitcoin.
But the reason why I said it is because it dropped significantly. So like if you bought it at 60.
So when do you flinch, right?
Well, you buy it at 60, it goes down to 20. Are you selling or are you saying, well, I'm screwed either way. I might as well ride this out. And now it comes back up. Zach is an asset that the Jets bought high. It crashed.
Uh-huh.
You're going to give him away or just say, well, maybe a year under Rodgers. By the way, if they can't trade him, like obviously they're looking to trade him. If you can't, are you just going to give away that asset or say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to keep him. What I once thought was a valuable asset. I still believe maybe there's something in there. A year under Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor in that quarterback room. How could he not be better off for that? Forget about a skill set on the field. Let him actually sit redshirt essentially for an entire year. And then you never know. Maybe something happens next year.
No.
Now, maybe they can get something more.
I'm not interested. I love the kid, too. I was rooting for him. I'm still rooting for him. If he goes to the Niners or Harbaugh, whatever, backs up Herbert, he's going to go somewhere. The Patriots, I mean, somebody should scoop him up. And I appreciate I really do, because I think it's a really good way to frame it. Like, from an investment point of view, you buy something at X, it plummets. At what point do you say to yourself, all right, I got to jump because it's only going to go lower and I can recover something, or I'm gonna take this on the chin because I trust at some point it might not rally back to where I bought it.
And just go buy another stock for your...
Yeah, but I can take the dividends and I can reinvest and it's justifiable enough to hold on to it. Yeah. I know, that's why I'm not saying that you cut him today. I understand what Woody's saying and I understand why you play the long game here, because I do think out of desperation you might get a seventh rounder, which is better than nothing, better than cutting him tomorrow to appease everybody who wants a pound of flesh because the young man didn't get it done. But I don't know if you got into the show Billions on Showtime, Axe Capital.
In the beginning, I did, yes.
There's, was it Malfi? One of the characters.
It was based off of Steve Cohen, wasn't it?
Well, somewhat. By the way, that was a great show.
Yeah, I didn't stick with it.
Seasons got a little long. I think it was, I watched every 7 or 8. I mean, well, I
may
was
have
locked
gone
into,
like 3 or 4.
Oh, it was great.
Paul Giamatti in it.
No, he's fantastic. Great. It was a great show. But I remember the...
Pig Vomit.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I'm forgetting her character's name, but the psychologist at the firm.
Yeah.
For a couple... Yeah, I got you. But I remember she had a meeting...
I like that.
I hear you. When I say I hear you, it means I know what you're talking about, buddy. It means I'm agreeing with you, pal. I mean, let's have a little unwritten code here. I know what you mean.
I don't want to leave any...
And I agree. All right? So, this guy, I love him. Yeah. So, she said to, I think it was Malfi once, hey, stop, because he kind of lost his mojo, lost his juice, and he was doubting his ability to invest. And she said, stop holding on to the losers. Cut the losers that you know are never coming back. Remove the pride, remove the ego, and move on. And that's what the Jets have to do with Zach. It's not happening.
I love that. I think that there's two ways to look at it. You either say that your gains are going to be from removing him from the equation.
Mm-hmm.
That's your gains. Or I just like the different thought process. Just because we scream about it and say, can't be here anymore. They say, you know what? I'm just not giving up this asset for nothing. We have to get something for it. But I certainly understand the other side of it. Kevin is calling from Ocean City, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
How are you, Kevin?
Listen, I agree with Sal. Zach's perfect third string. We got Tyrod Taylor, you know, Zach, and he's learning. He'll still be learning, but he's that's what he should be. He should be the third string quarterback.
Yeah, he should be the third string quarterback. I agree. For the 49ers, Kevin, listen, I don't think that you're wrong from a football perspective. I really don't. I don't. But all the other stuff, all the attention that we've devoted to Zach Wilson, could he be a star, too? Is he even remotely salvageable? It's over, man. You got to close the book.
You know, I just
it
thought
was a bad ending.
Can I change my opinion on this? I just thought about something.
Sure.
You know, his mom and the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather that be somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
You know?
She's been a little quiet for a while.
Yeah.
She knows it's over here.
Yeah, I know. Right? Now, look, all kidding aside, I know that it's over. Like, I'm not saying this with the hope of Zach becoming the Jets quarterback again one day.
Then get rid of him. If that's not your thought, then bounce him. Then why would you keep him?
Because if you don't think
he's going to become, then why keep him around?
Because it's not my business to be giving up. I think it's bad business to give up an asset that you bought so high on right now for nothing. Do you think you, in your core, BT,
go ahead,
that there's any chance Zach Wilson latches on with another team and becomes a viable option at quarterback?
I do.
Yeah.
But I
so
don't
do
think,
I.
I do, but I don't think the Jets have the building and the coaches to make it happen here.
Me either. Play this out. He sits for a third year. He sits as a third string for this year.
Okay.
Final year of his 4-year contract.
Yep.
Right? Sits under Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor. You would agree or disagree that he's going to get better just by osmosis being in that quarterback room?
I do think there's a point where you got to play. I'm not sure, but I'd probably still say, based on the intelligence and the experience in the room with both Aaron and Tyrod, that he would benefit. I'm going to give you that.
Let's say Jets don't make the postseason. Rodgers gets hurt.
Please don't even say that.
I know. I don't think that's going to be the case. Rodgers gets hurt. It's a lot of Tyrod Taylor. Jets don't get in. Whatever, man, even if they do get in, it's more about Tyrod Taylor than it is about Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of the season, the Jets, and the reason why I said no postseason is because that means Saleh would likely be out.
Yes.
Joe Douglas would likely be out.
Yes.
New regime comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You hire a new GM, offensive-minded head coach, and he says, you know what? I think there might be something in this kid that I can maybe salvage. You wouldn't be at least open to that?
I'd be intrigued if this was a year ago and if some of the stuff didn't come out that came out, like he didn't want to play.
I get it. I get all that stuff.
Yeah.
His teammates
don't forget that.
I know that. But still, if you had a leader, a Parcells type, and again, who is that? I don't know. Is that Mike Vrabel? Whatever
it may be.
Is there that type that says, I believe in... Now, he probably won't say he believes in Zach. I'm just saying that a year under Aaron Rodgers, a year of learning without giving up that asset, he might be valuable to the new regime. You're going to be looking for a new quarterback. Have we made our definitive decision that even though they set him up to fail, threw him to the wolves way too early, no offensive system, no coaching, like you talk about failing a kid, at least Daniel Jones had multiple opportunities with certain things here. Zach Wilson has had none.
I know.
He was supposed to sit last year and again got thrown to the wolves. Three of his four seasons, two of his three seasons, he's been thrown to the wolves. Rookie year was overmatched, shouldn't have been out there. And then last year, same thing. He was overmatched, shouldn't have been out there. By design, he wasn't supposed to be out there. So now you're giving up an asset that you never took care of properly. I understand if they do it. I'm not going to go nuts and say you gave up on him. However, there is something to be said about some sliver of hope, and why just give that away for nothing when you don't have to?
I truly do appreciate where you're coming from. I hear you, and on a lot of levels, I agree. I agree conceptually, but I don't agree with the Jets here. It's like you have a really rough first marriage. It's just a bad situation. Doesn't mean you can't, be a better spouse in marriage number two, but number one's busted.
It's not going
to leave. You got to pack up and go.
Yeah.
She doesn't want you.
James is calling from North Arlington, New Jersey. What's up,
well,
James?
Well, you don't want her.
Right.
He doesn't want the Jets, if I'm him.
That's true, too.
You know what I mean?
Thanks for calling. I mean, and that's a great analogy. Unfortunately, I've been divorced twice, so don't ask me for any any marriage.
I'll give you some. Don't do it again. Stay.
I have two beautiful kids for my second one. So, I may not well the second time. But I think that's a good point. Actually, you want to use that as a point of reference. The second wife, we may have got divorced, but I have two beautiful children.
There you go.
So something worked out. So maybe that's the whole point about Zach Wilson. That if he moves on to another team, maybe he will do well. But as long as he stays in that first marriage, there's no way. And I think... He just pretty much stole everything out that I could.
You got to move on, James, and thanks for the call. I would give you this. If the money was different, he's also at the point where...
Well, he's going to get paid for his fifth year. Not this year.
No, but...
They don't have to make the... They're going to decline the fifth year option.
Well, no, they had to do that, right? So they changed the rules.
They're not going to pick it up.
No chance they're not going to pick it up.
So they declined the option, but he still remains
on the team, same way
that Daniel Jones did.
But back in the day, you can pick it up and rescind it, and now you can no longer rescind it.
Here's my question.
And you have to pick it up a year earlier, I believe. So, no, they're not going to pick it up, but he's not going to... It's broken.
Do you think that having him here will do harm to the Jets this year?
I do.
See, then you got to let him go.
That was the first thing that I said.
Right, but I don't, because I... Like, him being here as a third stringer... This is Aaron Rodgers' show. Aaron Rodgers... will be so front and center that Zach is not even going to be... Like, who would even want to talk? Last year I was saying this. People were calling and talking about Zach Wilson. I'm like, this is not about Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. It's about Aaron Rodgers. Who cares about Zach Wilson? Now, unfortunately, it became about Zach Wilson. But if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, it's about Aaron Rodgers. And then it's about Tyrod Taylor. And then if there's an extended issue between both Rodgers and Taylor, then it would become about Zach Wilson.
I disagree.
But at that point, it's already over.
At that point, I hear you. I disagree with the first part. With the second part. The first part, I'm with you. If Aaron's healthy, yeah, you can shield Zach here. You think he's playing 17 games this year? I mean, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to scrap it off for 17? Okay, so he's got the backup. So,
did we even mention Tim Boyle until Rodgers went down?
Like, Tim Boyle wasn't drafted second overall. I mean, the profile.
Yeah, but he could spin it.
Yeah, he could spin it. Remember that? Oh, talk about the level of desperation. I was latching onto anything.
It wasn't you. I mean.
Oh, my God. But I think where I do disagree, because again, if Aaron's playing, theoretically shield. Nobody cares about Zach. If Aaron throws 30 touchdowns, Jets win 11, 12 games, it's all good. Zach could sit on the bench naked, and nobody's going to look at him. Except, you know, maybe some moms, whatever.
Wow,
maybe,
right.
You know what I mean? Suppose some women. I guess
yourself.
Anybody could look
Funny
at him.
But
the point
there,
is.
Yeah.
If Tyrod Taylor's playing, that was ridiculous. If Tyrod Taylor's playing, he is the story by default.
Yeah.
Because Tyrod Taylor, even though he's going to be a functional backup, he's not going to play so well, I don't anticipate, that eventually the camera will find Zach.
Let me ask it this way. Well, let's say Zach is gone. Who do you think the third string quarterback is?
It doesn't really matter to me.
Okay, it doesn't matter. That's exactly my point.
It needs to be somebody that has this innocuous presence, like this largely anonymous existence, not somebody that's been in the news cycle for 3.5 straight years, basically every day.
So regardless of who it is, because it doesn't matter, you're right.
Well, it does matter. It doesn't matter as long as it's not Zach. Let me put it that
understood,
way.
Understood. Understood. Okay, that's okay. Fair. Do you think, nothing to do with Zach here, do you think the third string quarterback this year for the Jets sets foot on the field? Come on. That's
okay, I'm going to answer this not with my heart, with my head. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case,
I'm not saying for an extended run, but, you know, for a game, wouldn't surprise me.
I'll tell you. I would love to see it.
Why?
I would love to see it.
Why would you love to see it? Even if it's not Zach?
No, have Zach. No, no.
Okay,
Zach. I'm saying I would love to see them stick to Woody's guns here and say, if we can't trade them, we're keeping them. They're not. I got news for you, Woody. You're not going to be able to trade them. Like, that would be that would be an all-time shock, even if you got to say. So
you could attach a pick to incentivize somebody to take him. So I never say never to a deal you know, with low, modest expectations.
Yeah,
but
you
keep
have to
going.
Attach something to it. Yeah, we'll take Zach. Give us Garrett Wilson. I mean, that's what it's going to take to get him. So let's say Woody sticks to his guns. The Jets can't get anything back for Zach in a trade. They keep him.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, week 9 comes around. Tyrod.
Zach's playing.
Rodgers hurt. Tyrod gets banged up. Back to Zach?
I mean, it really would be.
Oh, my God.
And if he played well, it would be the most amazing football story in the history of New York outside of Namath and the Jets winning Super Bowl III.
Back shoulder throws.
Hey, he did it against Kansas City that night. Played better than Patty.
Come on, man. I'd love to see it. You've got to root for Zach to be back.
I've rooted for the kids so much. And they ruined him and did him so dirty. And he's got to shoulder some of the brunt as well.
Mm-hmm.
He did not comport himself like the polished professional too often. So I'm not exonerating him. Marriage is broken. Just leave.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. Let's get back to the phones. We'll get to the Ohtani stuff a little bit later on. He spoke yesterday. you know, through another translator and didn't take questions, which to me is, like, come on, dude. You're not taking questions. It's weak. We'll get into that. Maybe throw in a little Knicks as well. BT's boy went nuts last night, DiVincenzo.
I also want to explain the new kickoff rule in the NFL. It's pretty wacky.
Can you explain it to me? Because I saw the headline. I didn't figure out the
You want me to give you the short version now?
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
I can give
what
you a really short version. Sure?
Yeah,
you want me to do that? Okay, so basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to obviously keep the excitement of kickoff returns while basically lowering the injury rate to that of something that replicates a traditional scrimmage play. And what I mean by that is you're just closer together. So rather than blasting somebody 40 yards, you know, sprint down the field 40 yards and
running,
just crush somebody.
Yeah.
Basically, the kicking team's kicker will kick from his own 35.
Okay, his own 35.
From his own 35. He's by himself.
Right.
He's always going to kick this in pure isolation. The other 10 guys on the kicking team will line up on the receiving team's 40-yard line.
Okay.
So they're all the way pushed up, past midfield, inside the other side of the field.
Right.
And you've got to have at least 9 members of the receiving team to line up between their 30 or 35 to obviously block the 10 guys that are up front for the kicking team. Now, there's a landing zone, and there's a couple of other quirky things where you have to return it if this happens. I just wanted to give everybody the short version. The kicker's by himself. The 10 other guys are all the way up there, so it's like a line. It's almost like a running play.
The current kickoffs are from where? The 35?
Yeah, but obviously they're running downfield.
I understand that, but it's still going to be the majority of balls then being kicked through the back of the end zone anyway.
Yes.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, what happens if you kick a ball short of...
It's in play.
What if it kicks off of one of your players?
Oh, that's a good question.
And then another question would be onside.
Meaning,
kick.
If the kicker kicks it off one of the
and hits somebody on the 40,
thigh. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about that.
And then the other one would be onside kicks. How do you go about that? Is that now?
I'm still reading through this. I mean, it's ridiculous, dude. Yeah. It is a long.
Yeah, I know. Too much so that I really don't care. Other than those questions,
but it's going to look interesting. Like if you have a good special teams coach. You can design some pretty wacky stuff.
Well, I like it better because it makes it a play, at least.
Yeah.
It was going the way of being, and it is going the way of being out of the game. I mean, that's the way that we were going. We're just going to, why even bother? Just place the ball to 20 and let's go. 20, whatever
25.
You pick. Yeah, right. There you go. But now at least the kickoff is back in play. Will Zach Wilson be back in play for the Jets this year? Richie is calling from East Islip. What's up, Richie?
Hang on, Rich. Can we boost Rich up? Rich, get on your phone.
Richie, where are you calling from?
What's going on, Rich?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes. It was your first day using a phone?
So we got Silver Spoons. Silver Spoons forever.
Oh, it's a good show.
Driving around on his train. He's looking at his new uniforms are coming out soon. Don't worry about that because that's what really matters here. We're going to keep Zach Wilson. Or we're going to just keep showing our hand instead because nobody wants to trade for him. Let me just say this. Him alone just leaving Salah gives me no hope for this season, okay? And I hate saying that. I hate being a downer all the time. I can't stand calling you. BT, I've been calling you for 3 years about Salah. I can't stand it anymore. But this is what my biggest issue is. So now we have this issue with Wilson. He's going to stay in it. How many times do we need to see that he isn't a good quarterback? He's had 5 different opportunities. And Sal, I know that you're a Falcon fan, right?
Well,
so,
loosely.
Do you remember Jeff George?
Of course.
When he came over, do you think that that's what Zach Wilson's going to become? He comes out of this Colts franchise and he, you know, all this potential.
No, I don't. I don't think he'll be Jeff George.
No, okay. So then what are we talking about here? Okay? He can't even be Jeff George and he can't win anything. And we all like him, you know, like, you know, he could throw the ball, like, you know, swing it 70 yards, just like Wilson. Well, this is what I'm talking about here.
If Zach Wilson could become a fraction of what Jeff George became, he'd save his NFL career. He's not going to be that.
Yeah, BT, what you say about the locker room, him just being in that locker room brings the aura of last year all over again.
Yeah.
And I don't, and that's the problem. And at what cost? $6 million for this loser to be in there who doesn't even want to be there. And that's what everyone knows. He doesn't even want to be there.
Yeah, but Richie, he doesn't matter. He doesn't matter. No, this is Aaron Rodgers' team.
Sal, We have Salah as the coach.
Yeah, you got Salah. Exactly. That's what you should be worried about. Woody's worried about Zach Wilson. You should be worried about Salah.
Yeah, but I think what Rich was about, thanks for the call there, Rich. What I think Rich was getting to is because it's Salah, we have no confidence that Salah will diffuse any of little flare up from a PR perspective or the culture thing.
I get it.
If it was somebody else, if it was Belichick, maybe you say sure. You know, he'll just keep his mouth shut, meaning Zach, and everything will be fine. And you coach him up, and they'll go. But you just know the way that this thing has been run for a couple of years, and the way Zach has butchered a few things himself. Something's gonna go awry. It's an unnecessary risk with what reward?
Understood. What's want the reward? The team. Well, the reward is you're not giving up. There really is no reward, but there could be a reward because you're not giving up an asset at its lowest value.
Yeah, I understand that. Again, we talked about the whole process of trading and investing. I'm just taking the L on this. I'm tapping out. I'm cashing out. I lost 75% of my stock. I'd rather lose rather than 100, you know, which I'm going to. If he sits around longer, I'm moving on to something else.
And then you see Zach next time you see him.
Yeah. Become the shiny new stock that takes off and just makes me look like an idiot.
Well, he comes back, you know, let's say, I don't know, a quarterback needy team decides to take a chance on him, like New England?
Yeah, yeah, and he beats us.
Zach comes back with New England.
So I don't rule anything out.
Zach versus Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, God.
The back shoulder throws.
He's got some tantalizing talents, but it's over.
All right. Kevin is calling from...
You don't
from,
seem convinced. That's what's frightening about
Kevin
this.
Is calling from Dix Hills. Kevin?
Kev!
Hey, how are you?
How are you, Kev?
Good. So I just want to say, who's been the worst quarterback in the Jets and Giants the last few years?
I mean, statistically, Zach's been the worst quarterback in the entire NFL the last couple of years. So the answer is Zach.
But Geno Smith.
No, that's not true.
The Jets and the Giants.
That's not true.
I don't understand what's
I think he's trying to say, look at how Geno started with the Jets and he's salvageable. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, is that your point that Geno was able to be resurrected somewhere else?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a Giants fan, just so you know.
I got you.
But I don't think anyone's given this kid a chance because he's never got a chance to develop.
Give him a chance.
He's never had anyone coach him the right way.
I agree. But he's broken. And he's broken here. Let somebody else fix him.
Who's gonna fix him?
It's not my concern anymore. I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't care. I've exerted every ounce of energy on Zach Wilson. I'm done. There's no way they're going to training camp with Zach Wilson. Are you crazy?
Well, I mean, the owner.
There's no way.
The owner said
that they are going to. Forget about training camp. They're not even going to go to OT. Zach Wilson will not step foot in the building. And this is not me screaming at Zach because he is a good kid. Like, if he was a player who was, he was disruptive for different reasons, but if he was just a bad seed, a bad dude, the tone would be justified. This is more apoplectic. Like, I can't even imagine a world where Zach Wilson is involved in it from a Jets perspective this year. You cannot take that chance.
You think they're going to trade him then? Somebody will trade for him?
They'll trade him or eventually they'll cut him. He will not be in there.
But do you think somebody's going to actually trade for Zach Wilson?
I actually think that the Jets get a 7th-round pick at some point.
Wow.
Hey, listen, Joe Douglas has not won a lot of games. Joe Douglas is one of the best traders in the NFL. He really is. Look what he got for Sam Darnold. Look what he got back for Jamal Adams, who's absolutely done. Jamal Adams is a broken stiff at this point. So that's one thing my GM can do. He can trade. He can coerce you into a trade.
If he can trade, if he could get something back for Zach Wilson at this point, I'd put him ahead of Billy Epler as far as greatest trades ever made when the Mets, Epler got something for Max Scherzer, who was absolute toast.
Oh, stop, dude. I mean, without Stevie Cohen's, Billy Epler would have got nothing.
Yeah, but still, he got something back. Still, they found some sucker. Back. They saved $25 million. They got prospect back. What are you kidding
me? Still defending Epler here?
Yes, I am.
Are we still doing this?
I am. But not only that, if Joe Douglas could get something for Zach Wilson, see, I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. Therefore, I have to go based off of what the owner said. I mean, your owner said it. Woody said, if we can't trade him, we're going to keep him. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up this morning and say, honey, see you later. Enjoy the packing. I'm going to work. You know what? I think the Jets should keep Zach Wilson. I'm going based off of what the owner said. He said if they can't trade him, and I don't think they can because he's got zero value, he's going to be on this team.
The owner said a lot over the years. He said a lot, so I don't react to what Woody says, except to tell you what I think should happen and what I think will happen. And I think he's gone.
Ralphie is calling from Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
You got it,
Ralphie. What's up, Ralphie?
What's happening, buddy?
I've been a Jet fan for 60 years. I've seen it all. Now, I can't, yeah, I mean, listen, I can't put the entire onus on Zach because they did absolutely nothing
on
the offensive line to keep him up. And this was no more indicative than when Rodgers got hurt a couple of plays into the into the season. Yeah. Having said that, you know, if you're putting all your chips in Rodgers, fine. Get whatever you can for Zach. And you know what? You better draft a quarterback coming up because, you know, Rodgers, he's like one hit away from retirement. So, and at this point, I just want them to win the whole thing, not for me, so my grandson doesn't hate me for making him a Jet fan.
Too late for that, Ralphie. Thank you for the call.
We all have those battles on our hands if this doesn't change around fast.
Oh, that is great. Hey, what do you say, 60 years? I was like, yeah, about 50 too long.
60. Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Hey, is what it is.
Hey, at least Mike Williams seems to be, you know, exciting and ready to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what was the latest with him?
He's just to not gonna be, unless I said this when they got him, just based on the rehab. I remember kind of looking at when he got hurt, when he had the surgery, when camp starts. Like, so I guess that they said he will not be ready for camp, and they hope he's ready for week one. Hope. So, I mean, I do think he'll probably be ready for week one, but if you're not sure, does that change how you draft?
They need another receiver.
They do.
But I wouldn't draft one. Yeah. I still want, can they still get a veteran somewhere?
Dude, it depends. This quarterback stuff is so, first of all, Corey Davis might come back.
That's fine.
I would love that. He's functional. But if Corey Davis does not, or if Corey Davis comes back and he wants more money and somebody else gives it to him, Jets obviously not breaking the bank on him. He's average at this point, but at least he's somewhat dependable. Then, based on this crazy quarterback market, like there's a chance, I don't know about Marvin Harrison, but the other two top receivers, could somebody drop to you? It's not impossible. And if that's the case,
I'm still
love one of them, that's...
Now I'm getting away from what I believe the Jets need a veteran receiver
opposite Garrett Wilson. You said that.
So I got to stick to that and draft a lineman, even though there's temptation, certainly.
Yep.
Too many times I've seen these top guys not be impact studs right out of the gate. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. I cannot wait for opening day, just 2 days away. By the way, you told me that it's supposed to be raining. I haven't checked the forecast.
Yeah, Thursday does not look good.
Come on,
that would not impact
the
Yankees who are indoors. It would obviously impact the Metsies who are in Queens.
Wait, that impacts everything for me with my schedule here potentially at SNY. So you think there's a real chance of rain out?
Yeah. I mean, a matter of fact, I'm starting to expect it, unfortunately. I saw like 90% chance of heavy rains. I'm popping it up right now for you in case it changed a little bit here.
Yeah, I pull it up on my phone. I see 85% chance of rain. But who the hell knows what this means?
Let's see. All day? Yeah, it's an all-day kind of a thing.
Oh, come on.
And by the way, every time I pop on these weather sites, now it wasn't like this growing up in Brooklyn. It's a lot like this in Jersey. Every time, like, there's a flood warning.
Yeah,
all
I know.
The time.
I see it in Jersey especially.
All the
what
time.
Am I getting myself into here with Jersey?
Floods.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Let's see. 1 o'clock. This is going to be on, this is tomorrow.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to rain a lot.
So you think, so now let's say wash out, then they probably play, you probably play Friday, 1 o'clock. Friday's better?
Friday's going to be nice. Yeah, a little brisk there, but like 52, 53, 54, mostly sunny. A little windy.
Everything just gets screwed up with that.
I don't
hate
know why
that.
They don't. Why don't they just start these teams? Everybody, like in the Northeast, on the road.
Yeah, I know, but then you don't get the first game. We talked about that. I like the first game of the year at home.
Well, I do too, but the Yankees don't get that. They get the first seven on the road
this year. Yeah, but was it last year?
Last year they were home.
Yeah, okay.
They were home last year
for the first
Giants.
One. I feel like the Mets haven't been home for a first one in a couple years.
Is that
could
true?
Be wrong. I feel like that's the case.
Oh, okay, all right.
Now I don't know. Maybe you know what? Maybe the last time they were was the pandemic year.
Maybe, but think about this. If you did this, like you could even have some divisional matchups. You could have the Yankees, say, and the Jays play up in Toronto.
You
got the roof.
Yeah, I know.
You could utilize the Diamondbacks. You got the Trop down in Tampa. You got Texas, which is a dome, but also very
Mets,
warm.
Marlins,
you've got the West Coast
whatever,
teams. You got the Marlins down
can
there.
Can you take all
do it?
You could take all the East Coast teams and move them, though?
I don't know about all of them, but I think there's a way, like maybe Baltimore, you get a couple of hundred miles south. Maybe you get those extra 5-6 degrees of warmth, which is usually the case. So maybe you roll the dice in Baltimore and maybe Washington, D.C., rather than here,
you know,
but there's a way to do it.
Would you ever consider, and we'll get back to the calls here in a second, Steve Cohen was asked when he met the media a few weeks ago.
Yep.
He was asked, I think in a joking manner, because it's come up before, like, oh, when's the, you know, because we're talking about the upgrades or whatever it may be. I don't know if it was just to the team or to the stadium, whatever. Oh, when's the roof coming?
Yeah.
Somebody asked him about that.
I saw that. I saw his response. Yeah, too expensive.
He said, ship has sailed, too expensive.
Yep.
Now, that's Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
If Steve Cohen, a guy who's worth however many billion.
20, 18, something
says
like that.
Says that it's too expensive.
Yep.
Like, think about that. But a part of me, while it would be more convenient, I used to hate. I still don't like it, but I used to hate more than anything else waking up on a day where I knew I had tickets to go to a game and seeing rain out.
Oh.
There was nothing more demoralizing.
Well, the one thing that was more demoralizing was when you woke up and there was rain and you had a game that day to play when you were a kid.
Well,
that is the worst.
Yeah, that is true. For me, the ones that stick more, though. Yeah, with those games, I guess that hurt too. You get your uniform on.
Yeah,
you show up to the park. There's puddles at third base in the batter's box.
I used to stare at my parents' window. Come on, please, son, give me a remnant of sunshine.
I hate that. I just remember vividly, like, oh my god, I got tickets to the Met game tonight, and like, oh, it's raining. Should we go?
Should we not?
Calling the number.
So, would you want a dome?
Well, that was going to be my question.
Would you want one in Queens?
No,
really.
Even with that. Unknown, and I hate the unknown of the schedule. I hate the idea of rain. I feel badly for people who plan their days and young kids who, this is maybe the one day, it doesn't have to be opening day, I'm talking about even mid-April, whatever it may be.
George, the one game they're going to.
Like, that's how it was when we were kids. It wasn't like I was going to 50 games.
No, me neither.
It was like,
you got
Mets tickets from somebody. Oh my God, this is going to be great. If it rained, you're screwed. So I hate that. However, with all of that, I still would not want a dome on Yankee Stadium or...
I would take them.
Really?
Totally.
Why?
Convenience. Yep.
Dude, it's baseball, not meant to be played in a dome.
You keep it open. You only close it when you have to.
Yankee Stadium with a roof on it?
Wouldn't mind it.
Really?
You know why? It's not the old, like, think about the way the Trop looks. It was built in the 90s.
That's disgusting.
You can make it modern
Yankee
in a way.
Yankee Stadium with a dome?
First of all, it's not, it's the old Yankee Stadiums. The real Yankee Stadium's gone.
I know, but still. Have you been to any of these other ballparks with the retractable roofs?
Yeah, like, I've been to Trop. I've been to
Milwaukee.
No, I have not been to Milwaukee. I've been to a couple
Toronto.
Football stadiums. Yep, when it was first built, when it
you
was
see,
the
I don't like
not the
Sky
Rogers,
Dome.
The Sky Dome.
Yeah, I went not too long ago, and Milwaukee's I've been to a bunch of ballparks. I think I got like six left.
Mm-hmm.
The closed stadiums,
yeah.
It doesn't feel right
to
me.
I'm not saying it feels amazing, but it feels better than not playing.
I mean, if Minnesota can have an open roof stadium.
They have heated turf. You know, they have a whole underground heating system.
Okay.
Maybe the Bronx and Queens do. I don't think they do, but they might have something. Listen, I get it. Aesthetically, it looks a little odd when you close that roof, but you know what? Better than not playing.
And you'd probably play with it closed minimally anyway.
Yeah.
Like in a case like Thursday, you just wouldn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, to answer your question, Mets' last home opening day was 2018.
See?
Not that long ago.
The 2020 pandemic year, they did open at home, but it was in
nobody's
July.
There. And what else? Did they open 2020, 2021 at home?
Every year, last year, 22, 21, 2019, all on the road.
That seems ridiculous.
See, I knew
why?
It hasn't been. It just feels like it hasn't been in forever. I thought it was like 2019, let's say, or maybe 2021, but without the fans in the stands. 2020, it doesn't even count.
I have a cool, and it's a Met thing.
Yeah.
A very cool opening day thing that I'll never forget. So it was 83. You were 4.
Yes.
You weren't watching this.
Right.
I was. And Seaver comes back to the Mets. And he's older. A couple years before, he got his 300th win with the White Sox.
That was his first year back?
Yeah. And he pitched opening
I thought he
day.
Got his win with the White Sox later, didn't he?
No, he won. Because
I feel like I remember his win with the White Sox at Yankee Stadium.
That was in 85. I'm saying this is in 83.
Oh, before he got the
300th. Yeah, that's what I said. I said before he got to the White Sox.
So he went to the Reds? And then back to the White Sox?
No, and that's, I don't think I'm missing it. I thought it was the Reds and the Mets. Either way, it's 83.
Sorry,
just the White Sox were at 85.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
So it was Mets, Reds, Mets, and then White Sox.
I believe so.
Okay,
I know that the White Sox were after the Mets. I know that. Am I missing a team before the Mets? I don't think so.
I'm just curious.
Why do you make it so complicated?
Well, I was just because I'm trying to learn his early history.
Got it. I got you.
I don't remember that.
Traded in 77 with the Reds until, I'm pretty sure it was back to the Mets after the Reds.
I'll pull it up. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, he's walking back. Remember the old bullpen, right field line, out in right field with the Mets?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him walk, and he was older, and he's walking it's still in the grass in the foul territory, and he's got the old Mets baseball jacket on, the satin one.
Yeah, I love those.
And the place is going bonkers. And, it was amazing. Like, I remember even as a non-Met fan, but as a young baseball fan, I remember seeing that visual, and to this day, it still stuck with me. Like, it was a real, It was a big deal. Seaver was back.
Big deal. So
huge.
They traded him just for record keeping. And I know the majority of people, you're right, traded him in 77,
yep.
78, 79, 80, 81, 82, all with Cincinnati.
That's my thought.
Comes back at age 38 wow. with the Mets. And then following the and following
that was
year.
That was the year that they got Keith, because they got Keith that summer.
He then left, and he was 3.5 ERA. I was going to say he was bad. He was not really. I mean, 3.5. For him,
wow,
yes, yeah, bad.
Wow, not bad.
That's not bad. That was 83.
How many starts did he make in 83 with the Mets? Did he make a bunch?
34.
That many?
34.
34. How many innings did he pitch?
He pitched 231 innings.
What a horse. I'll tell you, Steve. How many whiffs? He didn't have two, did he? 200?
Where are we looking here? K's.
3.50 ERA, 200-plus innings, 38 years old.
Strikeouts. Here
how many?
Wait, let me just pull this line up here. I can't see crap anymore. 135.
Oh, that's it?
135 strikeouts.
What was the whip? I mean, I'm just curious now.
I mean, geez,
they should be right next to it. You're making it seem like you're looking through a road map.
I am. I can't see. I'm blind in here.
You got glasses on.
1.2.
All right.
Yeah, well, 1.2.
Not exactly Seaver-esque, but
still not bad.
Respectable,
excuse
man.
Me. That yeah, no, that year 1.2. I haven't pulled that. So then he goes to the White Sox at age 39.
And he won his 300th at Yankee Stadium.
Right. And that was the next year?
That was in 85. Don Baylor.
So 2 years later.
Yeah. Don Baylor made the last out.
Dude, at age 39,
236
innings.
That's amazing.
At age 40, 238 innings.
It's incredible. And we're
at
hoping
age
that, like,
41
you know,
is final year 176.
We're hoping Cortez can give you like 175.
Final year at age 41, 28 games started, 176 innings. Every year of his career, 250, 278, 273, 290, 286, 262.
Look, don't just gloss over the early ones. Go for the younger fans, go over some of the early inning totals.
That's what I'm saying.
But say it's slower. You're running through it. 290, listen to these numbers.
Well, 251 is rookie year in 67.
You can really baby him.
278, oof. 273, 290.
That's insane.
286, 262, 290, 236, 280. 271, 261. Now, I understand that he's an all-time great Hall of Famer, but still, when you see these numbers, you hear these numbers. 259, 215, and he had, he must have had some injuries in 1980 and 81.
He had a strike that year.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, had some stoppage.
Started 26 games and had 168.
Okay. And you know why, as you're looking further? He used his legs.
Yeah.
He really was able to take some stress off his arm.
But how about the fact that you could bounce back
beast.
And still at age 38,
beast.
39, 40,
yeah.
231, 236, 238, and even 41, 176. Similar, it reminds me of Nolan Ryan. I don't know the exact. We'll break here in a second and get back to your calls and reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. But Nolan, you watched that documentary on him.
Basically
pitched to his arm fell off.
He pitched
to his arm, but he couldn't throw anymore.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, like,
talk about sack, dude. Sackometer off the charts for Nolan and Seaver.
Another guy who used his legs quite a bit. When you had those leverage points below the waist, like absorbing. And we teach this with the kids, and like I didn't think about this when I was young, but it's important. You take stress off the arm. You've got to throw with your legs as well.
Guys don't look like that anymore.
Well, that's why I love Clemens. Now, you know, in the moment that we know he was juiced up, but Clemens to me, well, he was a throwback.
Well, give me
he came
recent
up in the
guy.
80s.
Give me one of the guys
that throws
now.
With his legs.
Yeah, that's really got that stocky bottom.
Garrett Cole's pretty thick.
Okay.
His uniform's a little saggy, but like it's a little loose.
All right.
I think if he wore tight, he's got thick thighs, got a big ass, he's got a little trunk to him.
What the?
I mean, I'm
what kind of show is this? BT and Sal on the field.
Show.
Come back.
Real fast, Seaver, you get one start, one righty in the history of baseball. One. You going Seaver?
I mean, what am I other on? Bob Gibson?
Gibson, Greg Maddux, Clemens. I mean.
It's hard for me to say because I didn't see him, Seaver, in his prime.
Yep.
Where I saw Greg Maddux, although I did see Greg Maddux fail quite a bit in the postseason.
Yeah, so did I.
Pedro.
I'll probably go Seaver. I've always gone back and forth, Seaver and Pedro.
Give me some of the other guys. Who's
Nolan
the
Ryan's
Gibson?
A righty.
Yeah, Nolan.
Roger Clemens, Greg Maddux.
Yeah, I'd probably go Seaver.
I think he's right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.